8-6-5-2. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball Tones! I got a basketball Tones! Got a basketball Tones, so oh baby, ooh!
That was painful.
Yes, I'm addicted to the basketball Tones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball, and I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me. I ever put that basketball underneath my pillow.
I'm going to be fair here as we get started on your Smartway Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. It would be easy to come on here and bag on the Vols today. They played pretty well in a loss. Hey, we didn't look like straight garbage. You got to tip your cap to your opponent. When Frazier can do what he did today and shoot the damn lights out like that, more power to him. Now, it was goaltending at the end of the game, but the fifth foul that was called on Mayton is one of the worst calls I've ever seen in basketball. So I don't want to hear anybody complaining about officiating, because officiating was not the deal today. Not at all. I mean, let's be honest about it. We've been getting a great whistle here in this latest run. We've been getting a great whistle. So let's all be honest. I mean, I know Barnes wants that call. Everybody wants that call. I mean, let's be real here. I commend Tennessee. Hey, look. As somebody who does what I do here, and I've been unfair at times to that staff, but to be fair, they're getting about the most out of what they have. They're getting about the most out of what they have. And today's team is what it's going to look like when Hubs isn't here next year, because he wasn't here today. And that's what it looks like. Williams goes out, gives you a 30-point effort in a loss. He gives you a 30-point effort in a game where you lose multiple possessions. It's not even like it was a last-second bang-bang loss. It was a multiple-possession loss. And that's why I talk about recruiting. You got to have guys who can score. I'm not going to belabor it, but that's my point. That's been my point. This game is about scoring. Now, that said, the Frazier kid who's killed us 2 years in a row was right in that recruiting line where Tennessee's finding a lot of their players right now. He was about 200 in America. So I want to be fair to all involved here. But that right there is a killer loss. That's a killer loss. And we'll go to the phones. Now, can Tennessee get up from it? Sure. Can this team go to Kentucky and win like Tony Jones said? Absolutely. Can this team go to South Carolina and win? Absolutely. This team is not done. Not even close. Those of you who set yourself up for this NCAA tournament or nothing, I feel sorry for you, because I'm enjoying the rest of the season. Frazier lit us up like a Christmas tree. That's what happened. They're down 14. They call that foul on the block there. He couldn't believe it. Fox was like apoplectic. You're calling that a foul? You're calling that a foul? He loses his mind. He gets a T. It's a 14-point game. It's a 14-point game. This has to be the fifth or sixth time we've blown double-digit lead. I mean, it's weird with this ball club. But I'm not going to beat on I don't think you can beat on anybody. Sometimes you got to tip your cap to your opponent. They're down 14, and that kid said, here's my shoulders. Get on. I'm carrying us. And his body language toward his teammates, when he hit that second three ball, when he turned around and he looked at his teammates and he said, come on, let's go. The call on the goaltend, I don't want to hear people bitch about that. The fifth foul on Maton's one of the worst calls you'll ever see. I don't want to hear people bitch about that. The goaltending call was bad at the end. But they called a fifth foul on Maton who didn't do anything. I mean, what wasn't a bad call? The no goaltending call was a horrible call because it was a goaltend. And the foul on Maton was just, I mean, you're gonna take like Tony Jones said, that guy's a frontline player in this league. He's a potential all first team, all league type of candidate. You're gonna call a fifth foul on that? I mean, come on, man. And so, we're left to kind of pick up the pieces here. But it's really indicative. It shows you the importance of a score. I mean, you have that Frazier guy, they were getting ready to lose their fifth game in a row. Georgia's season was getting ready to be over. Bango. Bango. I mean, it was getting ready to be over. Over. So I give them credit. We'll get Marky Boy Griffin in here. Keith Hatfield's on assignment for the second straight day. He's not feeling well. Keith, get well to you, man. He's got a little bit of that crud that's been going around. And Tony Jones will be with us a little later on. Griff, Tennessee's got a 14-point lead. There's 13 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. Grant Williams at that point, I'm taking notes here, 7 straight games in double figures for him. He has 24 points, Griff, with 13:30 left in the game, and then gets 6 the rest of the way to finish with 30. J.J. Frazier went freaking off. Griff, what do you say?
Pound for pound, the best player in the SEC. I mean, he weighs in at 155, Tony, and just like you said earlier, just carried him on his shoulders. And what I don't get, and I'm not going to be too disappointed in the Vols today. Yeah. It was a great game, yep. But I am disappointed that we couldn't rough up Frazier a little bit more when he was going in and out of the paint and try to neglect him from getting the ball so easily. Now, he worked really hard to get the ball, but when he was on the block, you know, why couldn't we just try to cut him off from getting the ball like he was able to get? And then when he got the ball, man, he was just fantastic. If he didn't have a shot, he was making things happen with great passes and just led this team to victory. And it's unfortunate for the Vol faithful today.
It was a gut punch is what it was. And a great advertisement, Mark, for why those types of scorers in college basketball are very valuable to have. You know?
No, you're right. I mean, you're right. It's great guard play, consistent guard play on Frazier's part.
Yep.
What I was pleased with was the strategy to get Maton in foul trouble worked. But
yep.
What's interesting, when Maton was out is when Frazier went crazy. So I was so excited when they got that fourth foul on Maton.
Yep.
And it came out, and then Frazier just took over, and I was like, well, our strategy worked,
yep.
But yet here this guy just took it. Couldn't help him out.
Maton gets his fourth foul, Griff, with I've got it on my chart here because I was charting it. 16 minutes, 49 seconds left in the game. If I'd have told you that, then he comes back in. If I'd have told you that in the second half he was going to play about 3.5 minutes, you'd have said, we win that game. That's what I thought. 14-point game. They got no chance. They have a true freshman hit a three-ball for him in the middle of that spate. And, brother, that was a bad loss. And I'll tell you what. offensively, Griff, we got away with some of the things that we've been doing. Robert Hubbs in the mid-range game, when they were making their comeback, was nowhere to be found. And I don't think we looked for Williams enough. I think we got perimeter-oriented there. And when you're not making them, you know, the game just doesn't look the same. And somebody said here, we couldn't buy a bucket.
No, you got to keep going inside. And even though Williams was hot and had a lot of points, you just got to keep going inside to him the entire game and keep working it to Tennessee's advantage. And you're right, it just seemed like we went away from that strategy, kind of like the other day we were talking about Ole Miss going away from getting the ball to Saiz. It looked like Tennessee took a chapter out of that as far as not consistently going to Williams and getting other guys in foul trouble and him getting the line even more.
Back to the phones we go. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402. On a day where the Volunteers lose in shocking fashion, 76-75, and now have a trip to Lexington staring at them, and you know, God bless. We'll go to the phones, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 is our number. If you want to join us, we'll get as many people in here. Let's get our first caller in with Mark Griffin. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, how are you today?
Good.
Hey, Griff, this is Jigger. Hey, you know what? You stole a little bit of my thunder there, but I was glad to hear you bring that up. I kept thinking the whole time that little guy was going off. Why don't we just have somebody, you know, somebody we can afford to lose? Just clobber that kid a couple of times when he's coming through the lane.
Yep. You know, Bone has something I'm noticing now, Griff, and that's that guards are abusing him in the last couple games. And I think people have seen that on video. Ole Miss the other night abused our guard play. Today, Georgia did it again today, Mark. And that's a little bit of a, we weren't funneling people today. Today, they had some wide open lanes. I mean, today was like.
You're right. You're right, Tony, as far as the strength of Bone to. That's one of the things I said before the season was, you know, that was going to be a liability as far as his strength defending, and teams will be able to take advantage of that. But they did rotate players in, and you had Shimbari playing them for quite some time as well. But I agree with Jigger. You get someone to just bang him when he comes in there, give him an elbow, make him think about coming in the lane, and if you have to give up a foul or two from limited Lou, then someone just hack him and not let him go in the lane like he was able to, you know, to get the ball.
It's a shame. You know, Tennessee played a nearly perfect game in one end because they couldn't throw it in the ocean at down the stretch. Guys, they only turned the ball over five times in that game and lost. You're not going to see many games where you have a 14-point lead at home, you turn the game over turn the ball over five times, and you take one of the one of the five best players in this league, or one of the six or seven best players in this league, and that Mayton kid, and you limit him the way we did today and knock it out of there with a win, something extraordinary had to happen, and that something was J.J. Frazier for the second straight year.
Hey, guys, isn't it amazing how they can have that much talent and be 4-7 in the league coming into this game?
You talking about Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, they played three straight top 10 teams. I mean, including what they drew in that Big 12 thing. They lost at Lexington. They had a 5-point lead in that game late. And they got ripped off on a call. They had an unbelievably bad loss to Texas A&M where they had a clock malfunction there that played into that game. That was a win they had in their pocket that got away from them. Plus they let like a 9-point lead, go there late. And then they also had a game at South Carolina that was just was one of our gut punches. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're a lot better than the record says they are.
Hey, guys, let's look at this schedule going down the stretch. Yeah. I mean, we're probably going to lose at Kentucky.
Okay.
If we can beat Missouri at home and Vandy at home.
Missouri's hot right now. Missouri blew Vandy out today. Continue.
And then if we go to South Carolina and lose.
Right.
And we can win at LSU and then come home and beat Bama. I mean, we're 18-12.
We are squarely at that point on the bubble. Today was a crushing loss for that reason. Today was a crusher.
18-13.
You got to be honest about it. Today was a crusher.
No, it'd be 18 and 12 by my calculations, but I could be wrong.
Now, you, now
14-11 with two losses would give us 13 losses if we won the other games. It'd be 18 and 13.
But it's only 17 because one win doesn't count. So we're back to that again. So.
Well, so we're going to have to go do some damage in the tournament.
That's correct. Today, and this team can. But here's a problem with this team, Jeeker. This team can lose to LSU. We saw it today. This team can lose its concentration. The guard play's not that good. And when your guard play's not that good, you can get beat by anybody. It's just a fact. It's just a, it's a simple fact.
How about old Lamonte Turner, man? He, as soon as he gets that ball in his hands, you just know he's going to turn it over. And then he pops up and drains it three.
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, one other thing. Those announcers, they got under my skin today. Mm-hmm. And old Gino Gaudio, he was cheering for Georgia the whole game. And then there at the end of the game, they finally admitted that that was a goaltend. But then they were trying to say, "Oh, that three doesn't count because it was after the buzzer, and the light didn't go off until the ball was going through the hole."
Well, what they blew at the end of the game was they really did blow a goaltending call, which is a bad miss. And those guys ran off the floor. Barnes was trying to get to them, and they just ran off the floor. Like, I mean, what can we do about it now? Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. We got to run along, get as many people in here as possible. Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402. We'll get as many people in on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime. The Vols lose today in a game that really just ripped your heart out. I mean, you have a 14-point lead. You're making the plans for the NCAA tournament. I'm thinking about our listener watch party and where we're going to have it. And all those things, and are we going to have one for one of these basketball games late? We might still. Griff, we did a lot of good things today to lose. I mean, only turning the ball over five times and limiting Mayton the way that we did, Griff, and didn't get 2-3 ball happy, which sometimes can happen in a game like this. Tennessee only shoots 14 threes. I mean, they only make four, but only five turnovers, Griff, to lose that game. I mean, that hurts, man.
How about free throw shooting? How many times did we go compared to Georgia as well?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Shoot them in free throws?
We went to the line 24 times to their 16. I mean, not even close. All the things we thought about this season, it's all counterintuitive. We take it two teams. We're smaller than everybody. You know what's funny about Georgia, too, is that Fox made the decision to match our tininess. Instead of going with the size and giving himself a size advantage, a couple times, he went with smaller guys just to match what we have on the floor. Isn't that interesting?
Good coaching move on his part, Tony. And you're right, he did go small. And looked like they were playing a matchup zone. I don't know what it looked like on TV, but it looked like throughout the game,
yep,
they were running a really effective matchup zone against Tennessee. And once again, got away from getting the ball inside at crucial times, you know, late in the game when Tennessee could have maybe gotten to the free throw line a little bit more, and it's really unfortunate that we just didn't bang Frazier more. That's where I was disappointed, because I kept thinking, man, this guy just keeps getting the ball at will.
Yep.
I mean, even on some of these two-man games where he's getting a screen with a big man,
yep,
when he comes off that screen, just have a big guy there just ready to bang him and just make him earn it at the free throw line. And we just weren't able to do that for whatever reason. I don't understand.
What a nice touch by Coach Fulmer in the Tennessee Athletic Department today, to, as he's a de facto AD right now, to have the 67 and the 77 teams back today, celebrating their anniversary, 50 years and 40 years, and seeing those guys in the building today. I guarantee you, in their day, if a guy became a human heat check the way he did, and was driving the lane on them, his ass would have been on the ground.
On the ground.
On the
sure.
ground. He'd have been picking himself up.
I would have put him on the floor.
Thank you.
Gladly took a foul.
Thank you.
And sat out or went over to the bench. But I'd let that guy know, look, you're not coming
yep.
through my lane. Not when you're hot like you are. You're gonna earn it, and you're gonna think twice.
You're gonna earn it, or you're gonna burn it. And by the way, congratulations to our de facto AD, Philip Fulmer, on his de facto position. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402 is our number. Mayton got back in the game, Mark, with 5:34 to go. Tennessee was up 62-60 after a couple of foul shots from Williams. And then 10 seconds later, he gets the fifth call on Williams. Now, I was talking about it before you came on. What did you think about that call going against one of the great players in this league?
I was right there in front of it, Tony. I thought it was a horrible call on Georgia player Mayton. Just a terrible call. The guy did not charge.
No.
Or foul. I don't know if it was I think it was just offensive foul. So, I thought it was a horrible call. It should have been a no call. Another thing that Tennessee could have taken more advantage of. I mean, like we said earlier, defense inside was great for Tennessee. I mean, the Georgia big man did not hurt us at all. It was just the guard play and our guard defense let us down, throughout the entirety of the game. It just couldn't stop their guard play, and their freshman was hitting big shots and just seemed like they were uncontested, and they out-rebounded us. That's one thing that they did do a good job. Yeah. I don't know the exact stats on the rebounds, but, you know, that's something that hurt us as well.
Tennessee out-rebounded today in this game 37-31. Georgia grabbed 11 offensive boards. The Vols had 13. And I just can't say enough about Williams today. Second chance points, Georgia 15, Tennessee 13. Bench points, Tennessee 19 to their 16. Points in the paint, Georgia had 38 to Tennessee's 32. Fast break points, 3-2 for Georgia. Tennessee had 4 blocks to Georgia's 3. Tennessee, 3 steals each. Each team, double figures in assists. Tennessee had 19 assists in today's game to 5 turnovers. 19
wow.
assists to 5 turnovers and lose the damn basketball game. That is sickening. That is sickening. That can't happen, man.
No, it can't happen for a team that we're potentially talking about a bubble, which is premature.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun to be able to be able to talk about it.
Sure
but
does.
If you lose at home a game like that, then, you know, is this team really an NCAA team? I would have to say not at this point. Now, what can happen the next several games?
Because, yeah.
you know, we could be right back there again. But right now, I think it's just a little too far-fetched to say that we're an NCAA team, even though there were some other bubble teams today that did get beat
That's
across
the, point.
The country
that That's
can
the
help.
Point.
That can help Tennessee's positioning in this, and who knows what could happen at Rupp. I mean, you know, I'm sure we're not going to be favored going
uh-uh.
into Lexington. It's a tough place to play.
Uh-uh.
But there's a lot to learn, a lot of film that'll be watched after this game, because otherwise Monk's going to be licking his chops after watching what Frazier did today.
When other guards start to see how poor we guard drives, you're going to see that the rest of the season. It's going to be incumbent upon Tennessee now and that staff to say, guys, when somebody drives in here, I want you, Schofield, to use your body and knock somebody over. We got to knock somebody over. You just can't let that happen. And here's the thing about the tournament. One word. And Keith Hatfield's right about this. He said it the other day on the show. He said, win or lose Saturday, the back part of the bubble, the 8-10 teams that are vying to get to the back of the field are mediocre at best basketball teams. And you sent me something a couple weeks ago about how many teams that have 15 wins. There are 60 teams right now that think they're in it, and Tennessee's certainly one of them. Tennessee
yeah.
is certainly in the conversation. They were in the last 4 going in today on whatever that means. It means nothing right now, but because you still have a third of your season left to play, and it's the most important third right in front of you here. But that said, the bubble, why not? Dream about it. Here's what I'm not going to do, though, and I said this. I'm not going to take my expectations, ratchet them up, and then beat on those kids and beat on that staff because they lost today. You know? I'm just not. I'm going to stay consistent with that. I vowed I would do that. I'm going to enjoy this every step of the way. I'm going to enjoy every game with you, with Tony, with Keith, with the listeners, doing the daily show. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy every day. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Smartway Garza Law Firm. Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
I tell you, it sounds like for once you're feeling pretty good tonight.
Well, I've gotten a little reprieve from my pain, but it comes and goes. But yeah, I'm having a pretty good day today.
Well, you're sounding better. Griff, good to hear you.
as well.
Sat on the floor in the center court there and got a bird's eye view today. And man, I don't know if you guys know, so I'm starting to see signs of some tired legs.
Yeah.
The effort that they have to give to remain competitive by this time of the year is going to be taking a toll, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Another thing is, the SEC officials have had a meeting and they're on to Lou. He didn't get a couple of those calls early in the game there today.
Diving Lou. Diving Lou.
Limited Lou.
Limited Lou.
Got a little more limited.
A little more limited Lou. That's pretty good.
Amen. Well, what I wanted to comment on was I felt like Frazier impacted the game in some other ways as well, because, Griff, I know you were there and you noticed that Bone and Turner were on the bench for a significant part of the last 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yes, we had Shumbari on Frazier, which is a bigger guy, but Shumbari cannot run that offense. He was not able to feed the ball down low. He was reluctant to throw the ball down low. He was not confident in running the offense. It stagnated, and then we couldn't score. You know, I think that was a big part of it. Not that those guys are great, but their deficiencies are on defense. On offense, you know, they keep it going. They keep the ball motioning around, and they will throw the ball down low. And Shumbari, for the better part of that 6-7 minutes he was out there, was just, I felt like, apprehensive to go throwing the ball down low.
What do you think, Griff?
I think that's a great point, and it was the trade-off of having a bigger player on Frazier, but like the caller said, was Frazier was able to just blow by Shumbari, not be able to guard him effectively, which maybe Bone or Turner could, and then get into that offense, like you said, and maybe get the ball inside. So it was kind of perplexing to see why Shumbari did get the call there for the majority part of the second half. And speaking of legs, it didn't seem to affect Frazier too much. His legs, did it? I mean, how much was he on the bench? He probably played 38 minutes.
He played. You're extremely perceptive. He played 39 minutes and 20 seconds in that game.
Wow. Yeah, he was getting like a. He pulled him out at 30 seconds before the TV timeout.
Yeah, it's called what?
Come back in.
What he did today to us is called all-time balling. I mean, he scored 29 points
Unreal.
In that game. He was 11.
And he puts on those layups off the backboard.
That's insane.
I mean, there were several he threw up. It was like, there's no way that's going in.
That one he made.
Come off at a 45-degree angle.
That one he made with 3:45, where he, like you said, the crazy angle. It was like a trick shot. I'm thinking to myself, he's going to be lucky to get that ball up. And he puts it in. I'm like, what in the world?
And those kind of guys, if they begin to have that kind of success,
yep,
and their confidence gets growing,
yep,
it's over, really, you know. But I felt like there was one possession that really turned the game around, and I'm not going to, you know, continue to blame him because he does a lot of good things. But Turner jacked an early in the shot clock three.
He did.
That was totally not correct.
He did.
When I think we were only two or three down at that point, and had we worked it in and got a decent shot or got to the line or something, but it was like a 10-second possession and they had the ball come down and scored, and then they went up, I think, 7, 72, or maybe 6, 70, 64, something like that.
Hey, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Hey, listen, let's focus on some positives today, can we? Turner today, Mark, plays 18 minutes in the game. How many turnovers?
Well, we only had 5 as a team, so probably not many.
None. Shumbari Phillips plays 21 minutes in the game today. How many turnovers do you think he had?
1.
None. Bone today plays 18 minutes in the game. How many turnovers do you think he had? I'm going to show you how weird this game is today. He had none. So the guards.
Our guard played none.
Thank you. Williams today. And you don't fault him. He had 30 points. I mean, he's so active. But he had 3 turnovers in today's game. To show you how weird this game was today, Schofield had another. And the other one goes to Robert Hubbs III, who obviously, his level of inactivity in the second half, he's obviously favoring his injury. It obviously did whatever it did today to him. That is a great sign from Tennessee's guards. Now, the problem with the guards late is that you have to affect the offense. It's not just about turning the ball over. You have to affect the offense. You've got to get guys in spots, and I guess that comes in time. I don't know, but it didn't happen today. Tennessee loses a golden opportunity to lose a 14-point lead, and they fall at home, and we'll go back to the phones, and the phones are lit up, 865-200-5402. If you want to join us on a day when the Vols fall to Georgia, shockingly, in Thompson Bowling Arena, on a day where we just let Frazier go, which, as Mark said, as a former player, Mark, you're almost offended by it. And I'm sure some of those guys that played in years before you, a decade or two before you, I'm sure those guys were really offended by it. Cause I can tell you in their day, you are getting knocked over, when you're having that kind of game. Let's go to the phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, Griff, thanks for being in there.
Hey, Bino, thank you for being there, man.
Hey, Bino.
Guys, we're having a surprisingly successful season, but I felt like we probably needed to win both games this week and in order to have just, a real special season there. But then I get to thinking about it, and I believe this is about the time that Texas A&M beat Conzo's last team for the second time that year, when I kind of threw up my hands and said, well, that's that. And turned it on down the stretch and wound up being an awfully good season. I know that's a veteran team and this one's not, but, there's still an opportunity, I think, to recover from today.
No doubt about it. There's so much basketball left. That's the whole problem that I have with the concept of must win, live or die. Hey, there's 8 basketball games left, Bino. And the bottom of the college basketball, the teams that are fighting to get in there, suck. So why can't you get in? But that's a far cry from saying it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
My whole thing is, why not? But then again, when you watch today, you kind of go, why? If that makes any sense.
Well, I'm disappointed with another second half double-digit blown lead.
Yeah.
The truth is, that was a well-played basketball game.
Great game.
And there have been very few opponents ever have a game like J.J. Frazier. That's one of the great opponent games in the history of Thompson Bowling Arena.
Let's think of some of the great efforts that we've seen in there. That who was the kid from Kentucky?
Jody Meeks, 50.
How about Chris Jackson?
Yeah.
Against... who was it? It was against Allen Houston, right?
Allen Houston. It was like 196 or something like that. It was a high scoring game.
That was one of the most insane things you'll ever see. I mean, those two guys, it was like watching two of those Oriental people play ping pong. I mean, you might have a ping pong table out in your garage or in your basement, but you ain't playing that game. Meeks, Jackson, who else comes to mind, guys, in terms of opponents and what we've seen in that building?
I'm sure we're missing some, Tony, especially some other Kentucky players. I don't remember what Skywalker did in his times in there. It's Meeks and Jackson are the ones that immediately come to mind.
I remember.
I thought of them as I watched J.J. play today. He was just fantastic.
I remember in Mark's day, Willie Anderson came in there and had a great game against us when he was either playing or just done his career. You might have been still playing, Mark. Willie Anderson came in there
playing.
One night and
he's
let us up.
Former Olympian, that's correct.
He's a great player.
Hey, Griff, explain to me, I'm just not astute enough in the game. Why in a man-to-man defense do you ever pick up a guy like Frazier out somewhere out there between the midcourt line and the head of the key? Why would you ever extend out that far to start defending him? Because basically you're just going to give him a 5-on-4 because he's blown by whoever you got out there.
That's a great question. I mean, I don't understand why you would, because his quickness is to blow by and be able to get a screen like he was able to, and with a big man, and sometimes he didn't even need a screen. He was just blowing by on his own. In that sense, since he was so hot, you would think you would just pick him up at the 3-point line, and if he's gonna beat you, let him beat you from outside. Now, he does take some really long shots, but he didn't beat us from, I didn't think he beat us from his 3-point shooting more than he did his dribble drives and going to the basket so effectively. And unfortunately, we didn't rotate
as well. And how many times, you know, did we get caught with guys in the air getting called with a block or could have been a potential charge? We must have had four or five potential charges that we let go because we were trying to block his shot as opposed to take a charge, which in essence was a bad move on our part. We should have tried to take the charge to get him in more foul trouble, I think.
In the most Tennessee thing ever, one of the best players in the conference gets in foul trouble, and that really is what beats us because it opens up all of that opportunity for Frazier where there's no room in there usually if Mayton's in there along with the other big guy.
And that was the irony of the whole thing. With the way the game unfolded, they decided, well, let's just play small. And small ball worked. I wonder if other opponents going forward, Bino, are going to act accordingly against Tennessee, because the Vols are now... Williams makes Tennessee a bad matchup because he's quicker than people. He's just quicker. So now all of a sudden, you had a guy today that said, well, let's play some chess. I wonder if that's going to happen, Bino, going forward. And the second thing I think we're going to see, and you were talking about it, if we continue to extend defensively and point guards get a whiff of how slow our guys are on the perimeter, they're blown by people. That's going to start happening.
No, there's no question, Tony. The last two games, that has just been, that's been so evident that we just can't stay in front of our man. And the caller before me was just brought up a really astute point. It causes us to go more defensive and hurts our offense. That was just a great point.
And the question the other night was, were we funneling guys in or were guys just beating our guards? It was answered today. I mean, today, none of that was going on. Today was just, it was just outright. Now, granted, Frazier is a really special talent, though. That guy is.
Yeah.
Tip your cap.
I'm so glad he's a senior. I don't want to see him anymore.
Yep.
One last thing, and I'll get out of the way here. The worst part of this is that's going to look like a real bad loss on our resume because somehow Mark Fox has taken clearly the fourth best team in this league and what should have been an obvious NCAA tournament team and turn them into a basic bottom feeder in this league so far. That shouldn't look like a bad loss. The only reason it does is because he hasn't done what he needs to with his talent.
Mark, when you look at them, they're a veteran basketball team. Why aren't they better? I mean, they haven't closed games. That's another thing that I looked at my son today and I said, well, Tennessee's in good shape in this game because they're playing a team that can't close.
Yeah, I think they're lacking a big man outside of Mayton. I mean, obviously he's an exceptional talent and Frazier's exceptional talent, but they're still missing someone inside. Now the big 34, I don't know his name. Very bad free throw shooter at the end, which helped us stay in the game. But I don't think they have really good inside presence that helps them at the five position. I guess you would say Mayton's more of a three or four, I whatever position he is.
Yeah.
I think you need still some more inside presence for the Georgia team to be more competitive than what they have, and they don't have a bench. I mean, Wes Kessler's heart that came in to try to play as a substitute, just not a good player. Their inside defense substitution is really, really bad. It really drops off from their starters.
Hey, Tony, you were talking about other teams going small on Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Mark, I'm wondering if Georgia don't go smaller from now on. I'm wondering if they don't get that OBGYN or whatever that big guy's name out of there and just let Mayton and JJ do their thing.
OBGYN, you know, I love that. Thank you, my friend. On a day where it's rumored that Eve Pons is about to commit to Tennessee, that hasn't happened yet, and I'll be curious to see. If it's anything like the football deal, get a commitment here. You know, that used to be that used to be for years and years, Mark. You lose a football game, you got to get commitment the next day or in the next 24 hours. Make everybody feel good.
You got to have something positive. You got to have something positive coming from the weekend, so you might as well get a commitment out of it. That's about the only thing. This win, I mean, this loss to me really hurts. I mean, it hurts more than the Arkansas game that we blew the lead. It hurts more than the Ole Miss loss, I think, that we blew the lead because we're at home. We had a great fan base there today.
Yep.
You're looking towards the end of the season when I think NCAA looks at the games a little bit more closely. It's that last 10 factor that people say they don't use, but I think they do. And as much as we don't want to talk about the bubble, I'm glad to be able to talk about it because we haven't been in that position in a while. So let's talk about it if there's even a remote chance. But you just can't lose to Georgia at home.
No, and the other thing about our program, and this is not a Barnes deal, this is a Dave Hart deal, is Bruce Pearl walks out of here, the program's still red hot, there's still a nice solid core of players there, and we've been to one NCAA tournament, it looks like, in 5 or 6 years now, depending on how this thing goes. And that's just bullshit. I mean, quite frankly, when you put the number of fans in the building that Tennessee put in the building today, and you continue to put the number of fans that Tennessee puts in that building day in and day out, that's a crowd that Florida would kill for that we had today. And we're a 500 basketball team in this league. And a spirited crowd. And a knowledgeable crowd. And we're sitting here on an app right now, and I'm 41 minutes into this thing, and my lines are all currently jammed. So there's obviously passion around this, and there's interest around this. And the truth is, we deserve better. So we'll go back to the phones on that note. 865-200-5402. Trying to put what we saw by Frazier into some sort of context today. And we did, I think. If you can name some other great examples of guys going off in that building along those lines, because that last 15 minutes of basketball that he played was off the freaking hook, as we go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Hi. Welcome in.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Hey, man, I tell you, it's heartbreaking. I could feel it slipping away there. We missed too many free throws. I know we still hit 79%, but a couple times when we had a chance to stretch it on some M1s, and we didn't. But, you know, the saddest part about the game as an individual game, not for the season, is that everybody's talking about, and rightly so, J.J. Frazier. What we should have been able to talk about is the special night that Grant Williams had.
No question. And we've hardly mentioned it.
I mean, the guy is just an animal. Why they got away from him as much as they did late, I don't know. I don't know why Barnes, I know the guy's got to have a rest once in a while, but a couple times I looked up my mind. Get the ball down the way, he's not in the game.
I'm not taking him out. I'm with you, no. Don. I am not taking him off the floor tonight.
I mean, he is such a beast. I mean, defense, offense. And even though most people, I didn't even know who he was when we recruited him, didn't think that much of him, I think he is as good as any freshman in this league. If he's not first team All-SEC freshman team, it'll blow my mind.
Well, I'm going to take a line out of that Williams kid who had a cup of coffee here as wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
The wide receiver, what was the Williams, the five-star receiver?
Preston.
No. The kid that just left. Was it Preston Williams? I forget.
Yeah,
I don't
Preston
know.
Williams.
Anyway, today that kid earned his fourth star, okay? There's no way that kid's a three-star basketball player.
Oh, no. No way. I mean,
Let me say something, Don. People on Periscope are asking me if we got Eve Ponce. No, we haven't gotten him.
Okay.
But the word is out there that we're in great shape with him, and I don't know. We'll wait and see what happens. I'm not saying we got anybody. Don't put words in my mouth. The kid from France.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, if Fulkerson comes back healthy,
right,
plays like he was playing, and we do get a couple of these guys like Pons and the big kid that we got the other day, this player
Williams,
it's going to be hard to handle next year.
Yeah, you got to get some scores. Still got to get somebody to put the ball in the bucket. You saw that today.
And I think we got some guys that can, but I didn't think Jordan Bowden took enough shots today.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, you know, we didn't, like you said, we didn't overdo the three. Like I mentioned before, we missed some free throws when we could stretch the lead on some M1s and stuff. And also, they foul there with a few minutes to go. that big kid that had the crazy looking whatever across his shoulders. He's a 60% free throw shooter. They mentioned it on TV.
Yep.
I said, watch him hit both of them. He did.
He looked like somebody at the fair. throwing that one ball in. It looked like
flat as a ski ball
almost. He threw that thing up and it just kind of went in the bucket. I'm sitting there going, good gosh, well, we're not going to win today.
And who was it there toward the end? The game was really tight. Somebody put up a three. It went, you know, halfway down and kicked out. I don't remember who that was.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, that hurts so bad. But it just goes in, you know, it stems the tide, takes a little bit of their theme away. You mentioned Bruce a while ago.
Yeah.
Halftime, Auburn's up 20 on Ole Miss.
I'm telling you, they're getting it going, man. They might be the four, they might sneak in and steal the fourth spot after us blowing them out, which is how the game, again, that's how this game goes. Tennessee went down there, beat the hell out of them, and got their attention. Because they're a different basketball team since we played them.
Yeah, they hadn't even. Not only they not lost, they haven't even had a close game.
No, they're hitting their stride. I mean, they got totally humiliated that night in that building, and Bruce Pearl got completely humiliated that night in that building.
It's almost like Bruce, who could do no wrong here,
right,
can do no right when he plays Tennessee now.
Well, I'm sure it's got to be very emotional. Look, if Bruce Pearl had a chance, okay, I mean, let's be honest here. And somebody came to him and said, hey, you can go back to Knoxville. Would you go back? You know what he would do? He wouldn't even pack his stuff. He'd be out of there so quickly. He wouldn't even pack his stuff.
You know, in Tennessee has seemed to do that a lot, both players and coaches.
Right.
We had the golden egg.
Yep.
Man, it just, and we just threw it away.
He had too much power. So he had to go. I appreciate you, Don. Thank you. You got to understand that around here. It's about power. It's a shame that it's that way, but it is. Eights, because we have folks that like oxygen. 865-200-5402. Let's go back to our phones. Before we do, if Tennessee can get that Ponce kid, that would be a great pickup. The Williams kid last week's a real tough player. And it's interesting the way they're constituting this thing. We'll go back to the phones. Mark Griffin is with me. My name is Tony Basilio. We're 48 in. I got about 15 more for you today. And Mark, somebody's asking on Periscope, and I'm not ignoring it, and also there are a couple people on Twitter want to know, would you have, if you're Tennessee at some point today, to kind of mitigate the drives, go to a zone defense?
You know, I thought about it during the game if they should go to a zone, but at the same time, I haven't seen Tennessee go to the zone much this year at all, if any, Tony. And based on their scouting report and how they prepared for this Georgia team, they probably didn't work on zone, I'm assuming, or they would have thrown that in a couple times. But I think that your people bring up a good point that, you know, you can give a different look every now and again. And a lot of coaches will do that just to see what comes out of it. Because if Frazier's scoring on every possession, then what can you do to break up that streak where they've got that momentum going their way? Well, you could throw in a 1-3-1 or a 2-3 matchup.
Right.
Or even a box or one for that matter. I mean, there's that option for a box or one.
Right.
And just have four guys play a zone and one guy play a man-to-man on Frazier and not let him have the ball.
Let me give you another second guess. Georgia in a couple of these games late did not handle pressure well, did not handle pressing defense as well. I mentioned earlier their loss to A&M, and I distinctly remember watching the end of that. They blew up, I think it was a 10-point lead with like 2.5 minutes left. And basically what A&M did is they picked them up full court and just kept turning them over. Just one stupid turnover after another. And it was just one of those games. I wonder why Tennessee didn't do that. Tennessee late, 45 seconds or so after scoring, went to a press and almost forced a turnover. That's not Georgia's strength. At some point in today's game, don't you do that? I mean, don't you try something? I mean, the last thing I'm going to do is lose another 14-point lead in my building and then bitch about officiating afterwards. I mean, that's just not, that doesn't work. That's not acceptable in
especially
my mind.
When it's one
and again,
guy, especially when it's one guy that was what was doing it. So you take the one guy out.
Right.
Two or three guys that are beating you, then you're kind of limited on what your defensive strategy is. But if it's one guy, you eliminate the one guy.
Right.
So if it's as simple as double teaming Frazier on an inbounds when we do score and not let him even bring the ball up the court, or defensively, just make sure that you know exactly where he is. And when he comes off a screen, you're there to stick an elbow in his neck.
Yep.
Or just make him where he can't go where he wants to go. Once again, it just seemed like he was able to fluidly move about the half court the way he wanted. And when he got the ball, he's a great left-handed player. He was able to go left. We didn't really able to force him right because he went right back to his left hand. So he was just able to take advantage of our lack of defensive effort, I would call it, because let's face it, we didn't get the job done defensively against him, regardless of who played him.
Vols lose a 14-point game in a game where they only turned the ball over five times, in a game where their guards turned the ball over zero times. That, my friends, is a bad loss. I mean, that's a confounding loss. It's a bad loss. It's one that sticks with you. In a game where Grant Williams, a freshman, gets his fourth star. Unbelievable. Back to the phones we go. And I'll tell you something about this year, and somebody just said this on Periscope, and he's exactly right. Somebody made the point on Twitter earlier. Mark, the year is so weird that we're winning games. Like the Ole Miss game the other night, we had no business winning that game. None.
No.
This game today, we had no business losing that game. That's the kind of year it's been. It's like earlier in the year, we had that loss. Where was it? I think it was Mississippi State. No, it wasn't Mississippi State. It was the Ole Miss game. We lost that game, looked like crap, came right out and went like gangbusters, went on a streak. I mean, this team is weird, man. That's why I don't discount Tuesday. I don't look past Kentucky. I say with this team, anything's possible. Anything's possible, bro, man. You believe, don't you? Let's get our next call in. I got some silence there. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, John Tweet. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Welcome in.
What is Turner giving you that Bone isn't? I mean, he gets blown by over and over and over again. Bone's got to be a few steps quicker than him. I mean, couldn't he have checked that guy a little better than Turner did? I mean, I guess they had Phillips on him for a while, too.
Well, the problem is they both get abused. And, I mean, just to be honest with you, Bone's got to get in the weight room and has to get stronger. Literally, he can't check anybody right now. He's slight. He's little. If you watch it, he just gets shoved all over the basketball floor. Now, in time, he's going to be a really nice player. But that's a guy, Mark, that's got to get in the weight room. He's got to get bigger. He's too little, man. Am I wrong, Mark?
Too little. And once I said at the very beginning of the season that I like Bone, I coached against him in the summer circuit in the Nashville area, and I loved his intensity and his IQ on the court. But the one thing that I always said was he is going to get posted up, and it's going to be to the detriment of this team.
Yep.
Like your caller said about Turner, one thing that I'm not a big fan on Turner on defense is he has a tendency, and I don't know if it's because he's not in best shape or what, but he likes to stand a lot. He's not one that stays in that defensive stance. And when you're not in a defensive stance, you're going to get blown by as well. I think he's a tough kid, but I think he picks and chooses when he wants to play hard. And you can't do that. You can't rest on defense. And for me, from what I've witnessed, I think he rests on defense where he's standing straight up a lot of the time, and then he gets beat.
Is he not fit? I mean, the 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, but you got to understand.
You think he would be fit. I think he just takes off. I think he just takes time off for whatever reason.
Wow. So he's one of the few. So you're saying, I want to make sure I understand you, Griff, because I know you don't speak out of turn here. Your opinion is that kid is not, what's the word? He's not giving you 100%, 100% of the time.
That's what I witnessed.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
Am I viewing him, and not to be, overly critical, but at the same time, he's got the talent to be able to stop someone, but you rest on offense. You don't rest on defense. And I seem to pick up where
he rests a little bit on defense, and that's where I think he gets beat, and then he makes a stupid foul where he reaches with his hands when guys blow by him, and he gets that call. It happened against Ole Miss several times. It happened tonight against Frazier and the other guard that he was playing against as well. And I think the scouting report on him is take it to him, blow by him.
Blow by him.
Yeah, he's going to rest.
Wow.
Somebody's always going by him. It's like he's standing still. I don't know what it is. Just, I mean, he's really bad defensively, or he just doesn't want to move his feet. I mean, that's why I would think Bone would be better. At least he's quick enough to stay in front of somebody.
Yeah, but again, Bone today got abused. So I don't know. Bone, you know, the two games we've seen back to back from the two backcourts that we've seen in a row in this place have abused our backcourt. I mean, they just have. But today I give our kids a lot of credit. No turnovers. But again, Williams has to get the ball. I mean, he's sitting there with 24 points with 13 minutes left, and he only finishes with 30. He should have had 30, 36, 38, 40 points in that game. They should have fed him.
I think to Griffin's point earlier, he's dog tired. You saw him on that breakaway had a dunk, and he didn't get up to the rim. You know what I mean? It just like hit off the front wall.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's at that size, banging against guys bigger than him, it's gotta fatigue him.
Bowden had another one. Bowden had a dunk where he couldn't get off the floor either. I mean, these guys are. I think these guys are feeling it because they've played 100 miles an hour the entire conference season, and including the Kansas State game. No breaks.
This is more games than they play in high school. Sorry to interrupt, Tony. This is more games than they play in high school, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I mean, I never played high school basketball.
Plus the intensity of this. I mean, you're playing men. That's the
more Bennett.
Too. You're playing men. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's just a completely different level.
Okay. All right, boys.
Thank you, brother.
Good
talking to you. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us today on the program as we talk about Tennessee today, and it just kills you. I mean, that loss today. Just a really bizarre basketball game because so many things were done well, so many things were done right, so many things went well, and yet you look up and you lose, and you're just kind of like, what? Wow. That we're going to lose a game. And what was mystifying, Mark, about it to me was it wasn't just a loss, it was a multi-possession loss at the end of the game. It wasn't even like, it's one thing if Frazier comes into your building and they beat you and they hit you the last second shot and you go home and you lose at home and you kind of, it's a stinging loss, but hey, you tip your cap. I mean, literally was a three-score game late. It ends up a one-point
game.
No,
you're right. You're right, Tony.
Yeah.
And what's amazing was, you know, once again, going back to how many times this Tennessee team had double-digit lead.
Yep.
What's the mindset, the killer instinct?
Yep.
To bury them by 20,
yep,
as opposed to let them come back. What is it that's going on in these guys' heads? And more importantly, what's going on the court that we get away from one of the great performances from Grant Williams today that we're sitting here saying instead of 30, we're saying 38 because it could easily have been 38 if we would have gone back to get him the ball. As he was still open, they were still playing behind him.
Yep.
They were not double teaming Williams.
Yep.
We just got away from getting good angles to get the ball into Williams and just let him go to work. Even if it's a clear out offense, which for some of your callers that don't know what clear out means, it's more of having one guy on the post and three guys on the other side. It's pretty much two guys on one side of the court and just clearing out so he can go to work. But we failed to take advantage of that with Mayton out of the game.
Mayton played about three minutes in the second half, and he played about 14 seconds when he came back in. And he picked that fifth foul up, and you're thinking to yourself, well, that's the ball game. And it turns out it's a blessing in disguise for Georgia. I mean, today's game was, I'm sitting here going, I'm trying to think of a game that reminds me of it. I'm generally pretty good at this, but I can't. I'm sure by Monday, when Bino and myself put our two heads together, which probably equals somebody with a 75 IQ, I'm sure we'll come up with something, but we just got beat by a guy that took it to us, and they had a freshman that hit a key three, and I give Georgia a lot of credit. And this is what scared me coming into this game. It's a point I made the other night, is that Georgia was due. They were due. They were going to win one of these games. It's just like Tennessee when they played Kentucky. Tennessee was going to win one of those games. You cannot play that